Don't say, really?
Well,
it'd be nice if this world was not my home. It'd be nice if I'm just passing through. It's funny, you can't tell sometimes I'm just passing through because I'm so attached. Don't be scratching my car. You'll find out if I'm just passing through. Don't be sitting on my motorcycle. You'll find out if I'm just passing through. Don't be calling my wife a name and you'll find out just while we're passing through. Little pit stop on the way, right? Oh, Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. Really? If heaven's not my home, what will I do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out and get stoned. I'll go out and drink. I'll go out and party. That's what I'll do. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. And the more you're into this book, the less at home you'll feel. The more you're on your knees in prayer, the less at home you feel. The more you're in the church house, listen to the sisters sing in the orchestra and getting with God's people, the less comfortable this world will feel to you. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached on a verse. I won't tell you a verse. I want you to tell me. So we're going to do a little review, a few-minute review. You might say, we don't need review. I say, really? Really, big boy? What was that message about 2 weeks ago today? Amy. Amy. You know what I'm saying. What was it about? Pardon me? Okay, it's about Solomon's song, but what about it? Yes.
Different mountains.
We're talking about the different mountains tonight. We're talking about two words from that verse. Turn to Song of Solomon. The last verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 14, is the very last verse of the book. It's the book of love. It's a love story between the church of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that the very last verse of the book of love says, "Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices." And then the second last verse in the entire Bible, again, it says, "Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'd like to talk tonight a little bit about making haste. But first, who's calling the Lord here? Well, it's the church. The world's not going to call the Lord. The world might call the Lord a different things, but we're not going to call my beloved. What a name for the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved. He reaches way down from heaven to save a wretch like me and forgive me of all my sins. Give me a home in heaven. Give me a beautiful family. Give me a beautiful church. He is my beloved. In the book of the Bible, the word beloved is mentioned 113 times. A third of those times we'll find in the Song of Solomon. It's the book of the beloved. Don't doubt it for 1 second. I know who I love. I don't know if you know who you love, but I like the name called my beloved. It's my affection. It's my appropriation. I've made Jesus Christ mine, suitable for me, my beloved. If no one else loves him, I'm going to love him. The world can say what they want. They can do what they want. The church can do what they want, say what they want. This boy,
yes, sir,
is going to love him and not be ashamed about it. The world never did anything for me. The world never saved me. God saved me. In fact, when I got saved, this world dumped me. Yeah. It says in the Bible, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. I didn't love God. But when I found out what he did for me and loving me, I love him. We love him because he first loved us. So, brother, that's right. It's that the church is calling him my beloved, Jesus, my beloved. And he talks about these four mountains in the book of Song of Solomon, in case you were not here. And in Song of Solomon 2:17 just says this, "Until the day break and the shadow flee away, turn my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethair." Now, Beth there is mentioned one time in the Bible. It means a division, dissection, separation. There was a great mountain separating me and God. And come, Lord Jesus, from the mountain of Beth there, go over this mountain, open the door up for me. That there be no more. The great division was our sin and the justice of Almighty God. How can this get solved? How can I get over this mountain? I'll tell you how. In Bethlehem, in a manger. A baby got over the mountain called Jesus Christ. It's a mountain of division. I was divided. I was against the Lord until I found out what he did for me. Secondly, is it called the mountain of myrrh? I'll read the verse, Song of Solomon 4:6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh. And to the hill of frankincense. Now, the Bible says in John 19, and there came also Nicodemus to the grave of Jesus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe. Aloe is about 100-pound weight. So there are our Savior in the grave, dead. I'm talking about dead. And surrounded by this myrrh. Well, he overcame that death. He came from the mountain of myrrh, and he overcame the grave, and he overcame sin. That's the mountain of myrrh. Third mountain was the mountain of lions and leopards. Come, it says in Song of Solomon 4:8, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lions' dens, from the mountains of the leopards. I like to think about this mountain of lions and leopards as death and hell being conquered. Our Lord coming over that mountain, a mountain I could not get over. I could not get over the mountain of Bithor. I could not come out. I cannot, could not come out of the mountain of myrrh, but I will because Jesus did before me. And then you have this mountain of lions and leopards who just clawed at him, tore him up, ripped up his face, ripped up his back, ripped up his chest, ripped up his legs, ripped up his whole being, tore him up. But he overcame the mountain of lions and leopards. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is thy sting? Where? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Where? Where is it? I'll tell you where. They were overcome. Jesus overcame them. Yeah, he overcame the mountains of lions and the leopards. He overcame the mountains of separation. He overcame the mountains of myrrh. And now we wait. The church of God waits for him to come all over the mountain or from the mountain of spices. The last verse of Song of Solomon. Two words tonight. Make haste, my beloved. And be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. I look at that as heaven, because Jesus has not returned yet. And what makes it so scented, so perfumed in heaven, it's just the merits of our Savior. What makes it so wonderful a mountain, heaven, is the perpetual and prevailing prayers of our Savior for us. What makes it so scented, so beautiful, so wonderful, the praises of his glorified saints. And all the creatures in heaven, the cherubim, seraphim, angels, all praising. It's a mountain of spices. And the church says, make haste, Lord, make haste. So tonight I want to ask you a question. What do you look forward to in this life? So tonight, if you want to take a doze, you want to take a little nap, I know you worked hard all day. I don't blame you. It's hard to stay awake. But no, tonight, I'm asking you, what are you looking forward to? Where is your affection tonight? The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection. Set your feelings, set your fondness on things above, not on things of the earth. And let me tell you this, as long as your affections are set on the earth, you will be dissatisfied. You will be unhappy. There is no joy in the temporal things of this earth that's lasting any while. And so you put your affection on the things of the earth, and you are going to be disappointed eventually. Listen, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Everything on the planet that has form is going to disappoint you. We have this great excitement about these new things. Everything new turns old and eventually disappoints us. Are you looking forward to the coming of the Son of Man? Do we say, make haste, Son of Man? Listen to the verses. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. We have that today, right? And perplexity, puzzling, confusing. Everything seems so complicated. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, Jesus said. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. What are you looking at tonight for your peace, for your comfort, for your joy, for your love? Are you looking horizontally or vertically? It's very clear in the Bible. God would have us to look vertically, looking up, looking for Him. There's a phrase that says, oh, things are looking up. That's another way of saying things are improving. Things are getting better. I say, as we look up, things are going to improve. And things are going to get better. We say, things are looking up after a bad period, a period of bad luck or negative events. Things are going to be better. Things are going to get positive. Do not kid yourself. Don't joke yourself. Not on this earth. We look up. We look up. Things were going to get better for sure. We have this thing called set your affection. We have this thing called expectations. Expectations looking forward to the probable occurrence or appearance. So we say, make haste for the probable occurrence and appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your expectation is in a person, in a place, or a thing, it's a precursor to heartache. The act of expecting. Now, some people, they like to hear the experts. They don't want to listen to the old man. They don't want to listen to the Bible. They want to listen to the experts, the college-educated experts. Psychiatrists and psychologists suggest that all frustration is based on unmet expectations. You learn that in college. It only costs you $50,000 a year. If we did not expect anything, we would hardly be frustrated. There's a saying that says, all that glitters is not gold. Appearances can be deceiving. Beauty is only skin. Don't judge a book by its, but we all do. Oh, that's shiny. That's got to be gold. Oh, that girl is beautiful. She's got to be the sweetest thing on the earth. Whew, mercy. Yeah. This is what the Bible says. My soul. Can you say this? David often talked to himself in the Bible. When he says my soul, he's talking to himself. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? For my expectation is from Him, and you will never be disappointed. But if you read that verse in a college classroom, they'd throw you out, although they said the exact same thing. Set your expectation. Set your hope. Set your expectation on the Word of God. He never fails. God never disappoints. You disappoint. Things will look up as you look up. And if you put your expectations on the Lord, you'll never be disappointed. Now, a brother, what would be a brother to the word expectation? Starts with an A. Huh? The brother to expectation, a word that starts with an A, just so I keep you awake. What? Anticipate. Right. Anticipation. It's making me wait. I'm just saying. Almost the same definition, probable occurrence, or expecting something. Now, the medical community says we all need something positive to look forward to. Experts say that a healthy sense of anticipation can often energize our lives, motivate us to get through the tough times. On a fundamental level, quote unquote, anticipation can be a very valuable and positive emotional experience. It is important and may even be necessary to living a truly happy and satisfying life. A man has to have something to look forward to. When we have something to look forward to, it not only makes it easier to get through tough times, it helps us with the frustrations of life and annoying times as well. I couldn't agree more. But it's what we're looking forward to is the thing. Now, something to look forward to. The end of last year, the know-it-all CNN came out with 20 things to look forward to in 2021. I don't know about you, but I don't find myself on the list. Number one, the number one thing, Tokyo Olympics. Well, I hate to say it, but it was the lowest. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. That's what I'm looking forward to in 2021? Listen, I just want to tell you that it's the lowest TV audience since NBC started in 1988. Okay. Number two on the list, Eurovision Song Contest. What is that? What is that even? I don't even know what that is. It's the biggest song contest in the world. And you know who won it? Italy. I know. A band called Maneskin. Wow. I never heard of them. I guess I'm out of it. And then you got the UEFA Championship. Anyone know what that is? That's the World Soccer Championship. Then you got the T20 Cricket World Cup. How do they get the cricket to do anything? Who? Cricket? I don't know about the people that play that game. I don't get it. How about the 50th anniversary this year? Big celebration. 50th anniversary of what? Walt Disney World. Mickey. Donald. Number nine, new climate policies in action. Okay. Number 10, let's look forward to the presidential inauguration. And as President Biden would say, was that this year? Was that this year? I don't know. A lot of new TV shows have come out. Yeah, if you don't mind watching filth that night. Now, I'm going to read you some things from the experts on children watching TV. Disadvantages. Many disadvantages. Here's a few. It's a time stealer. The world says so. Children who spend too much time in front of the television miss out on life's opportunities. Lack of language and social skills kills creativity and imagination. Lack of focus, unproductive, obesity, heart and eye health risk, negative behavior. No kidding. If you're watching 55 murders every night and robberies and all this crime, you think the kid's going to want to get up and color a picture of Donald Duck? No. You want to come and hit his sister. Go steal something. And if you think you're an exception, you're mental. Can I say mental? Is that offensive of saying mental? You're mentally disadvantaged. TV, what? Listen, new movies are about one thing, and you know what that is. And you're outside your mind if you think you're going to please God and watch that stuff. David said this in a psalm, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when thou wilt come to me, I will walk within my house, with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What do you do with that verse? Let's just tuck it away. Quiet. I hate the work of them that turn aside. And that's what's on that television set, the works of those that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. In Psalm it says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. If that doesn't describe primetime TV, what does? I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Send me a list of the shows you watch in primetime. That's all. No problem, Pastor, no problem. Good. And if it's not wicked, sit with them. If it is wicked, get out. Incline my heart, it says, unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me in the way. Mom and dad, young parents in this house, we have a lot of them. You had better watch out what those kids watch. Because what they watch is what they're going to do. And that's not the old man saying it. That's the scientists. Now, another exciting thing this year is Tom Cruise is going to space. I wish he'd just go and stay. I got no use for the guy. All I'm saying is he's going up there to make a movie. And it's a big deal. Some look forward to it. CNN. No wonder CNN's watch is 68% down. CNN. None of them are any good. But the large. Oh, here's exciting. Number 14 on CNN's list. I'm not even kidding you. Look it up yourself. The largest brood of cicadas coming. It's huge. It's huge. 6G. Lynn and I, we can't understand 3G. 4G, 1G. To me, a G is 1,000, right? 6,000. All right, I guess. Artificial intelligence everywhere. No kidding. No kidding. How about number 17? We look forward to 2021. Drone deliveries. Anybody get a drone delivery this week? Oh, we still have some time to go this year. How about the Queen of England turns 95? Everybody's happy about that except one person. Who would that be? The Queen. And this stops, this is number 20 on the list. Hugs. Hugs. Hugs! Have mercy. Have mercy. I like to put number 21 down. Jesus Christ returns. Why can't we look forward to that? That is what they're saying in Song of Solomon. Make haste. Make haste. Come, Lord, please. I can't take this much longer. Now, listen, some people would say, oh, yeah, life is... Listen, I'm going to tell you this. No one enjoys life more than Brother Folk. You know that. No one enjoys an apple or an egg or a walk or a leaf or a flower or a bug or his wife. No one... Wow, wow, what a life! But, it doesn't compare to what's going to happen. I say, make haste, Lord. You can eat all the apples and oranges in the world. Doesn't erase the heartache and the grief that you have. What you do is set yourself up for disappointment if you go with the CNN list. I can't find a bloody thing on there that I'm interested in. You ever hear an expression called, it's not cracked up what it's supposed to be? Is that how it goes? It's not what it's cracked up to be. That's the earth. That's the world. It's not what it's cracked up to be. Now, let me just say this. Does anybody know what that cracked up means? Well, there's a lot of cracked up. But, listen, this idiom, it's not all cracked up, is derived from an archaic meaning of crack. Easy. Easy, big boy. Which is to brag about something or to praise something effusively. The definition of crack was popular in the late 1700s and 1800s. Used as an adjective, if something is cracked up to be superior, then when it is proved not to be superior, oh, it's not what it's cracked up to be. You digging what I'm screaming? In other words, it's not as good as it's made out, like that restaurant you sent me to. Oh, greatest restaurant in the world. It's not what it's cracked up to be. Lousy meal. It does not live up to the hype. Oh, you got to go to this show. You've got to go to this place. You will not. It'll blow your mind. You sit there, oh, really? I'm not digging this. It's not cracked up to be. It's an expression used in describing something that is not first rate. Something that does not live up to its reputation. Something that is inferior, not as good, not as enjoyable, not as impressive, not as worthwhile. That's the world. That's why we say, make haste, Lord, because this world's not cracked. Not all cracked up. Amen. Pastor has a moment. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of crack things. This one's not that one. No, normally bad, but in the 1700s, 1800s, it was good. Oh, that thing is cracked up. Mm. Yeah, I know it. Try to learn this language. I'm still struggling with it. But really, it's disappointing. If it's not cracked up, it's not, how's it go? It's not what it's cracked up to be. It's flat out disappointing. Wow. It's a fake. It's a phony. It's a fraud. It's fictitious, false, forgery, a scam. A sham. That's what the world is. The world paints this beautiful picture. How do you know that? Well, look at the billboards. Look at the magazines. Look at the TV. If I could look like that guy, how about a guy who gets on TV, he's ripped. He says, I don't diet. I don't even exercise. Look at me. Beautiful. I'll take some of that. It's a forgery. It's a fake. It's not what it's cracked. It's not what it's cracked up to be, Pastor. No. The Bible tells us this. We're to test the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they're cracked up, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets, CNN, MSNBC, what are you, a hater? I'm not a hater. I'm just telling you. It's fake. It's phony. Make haste, Lord Jesus. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist network. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Try the spirits. We know God is cracked up to what he's supposed to be. You follow what I'm saying? Now, last year, every American spent $1,000 on something, at least $1,000. Who wants to tell me what that was? You see, can't we learn something? Can't we learn? What did you say, Pastor?
I didn't say nothing.
What did you say? Someone said something.
Coffee, no.
Oh, we spend much more than $1,000. Yeah.
Phone,
no. Pardon me? No. Listen, billions and billions and billions of dollars are spent because people don't say, make haste, Lord Jesus, come. They say, make haste, millions come. It's the lottery. They say every American spends at least $1,000 on a lottery. Now, I know in this room, we've got midnight raiders. I know that. I'd be stupid to think that some of us aren't incognito at midnight. I wouldn't do it in Greece because Pastor Barkowski will catch you. I promise you. I promise you. I don't care. If you want to play lottery, help yourself. Oh, I'll give the money to the church. Give the money to the church. You don't give the money now to the church. You're going to give $1 million to the church? Okay, Stanley. Sure.
Sure. You might catch
Pastor Barkowski in line. You just might. Alice or Charlie's in that line. Listen, here's what they say. And we're so gullible. Have mercy. Dream the impossible dream. Your chance to win starts right here. No, it's right here in the wallet, right? Mission possible. Supporting health and making wealth. That's not what the professionals say. Sometimes the good things in life do come easy. Be a player. Somebody's got to win it. Play now. Laugh forever. Did you know 70% of million-dollar lottery winners wind up broke, divorced, beat up, murdered, psychiatric ward? That is not me saying that. That's statistics. Lottery heaven, 24/7. Dare to dream big. Shoot for the stars. Make the impossible a reality. If not you, who? Try not, why not? Give yourself the gift of a dream. Boy, it makes me want to just say something I regret, but and this is what this is, what all this is. But the lot, right, preacher? The pastor's track in my mind. The lot of that, the lottery that money can't buy. We don't believe in destiny. We believe in you. Don't miss the lottery express. Oh no, I'm going to miss the lottery express. Odds are meant to be beaten. Dreams for sale. A dollar in a dream. The chances of you winning the Mega Million is 1 in 302 million people. Tickets, 1 in 302. Now, the Powerball is 1 in 292 million. Did you know if you bought a lottery ticket, $2 tonight, a dollar in a dream, why not now, and all that, if you bought a lottery ticket on your way home, you have a greater chance of being killed by a swarm of hornets. Yeah, than winning the lottery. 60,000, 160,000, you're going to get killed with hornets. That's not bad odds compared to, right? You have a 1 in 32 million chance of becoming the president of the United States. God knows we're desperate. I mean, hey, if that guy can make it, anybody can make it. Have mercy. Lord Jesus, help me. But, okay, 32 million. Again, to win the lottery is 302 million. Your chances. You have a better chance of becoming a movie star. Whoop-de-doo. One in 115,000. You have a better chance tonight, if you buy a lottery ticket and walk out that door, you have a better chance of ending up in the emergency room with a pogo stick-related injury. 1 in 115,000. And some of those people aren't even pogo stickers. They're bystanders to pogo stickers. Yeah. I'm just saying, you can't make it up. It's true. You got a better chance of getting struck by lightning. You got a better chance tonight of walking out that door. Lay out your $2. You got a better chance of being struck by a meteorite. I hate when that happens, right? You got a 1 in a million chance of dying in a plane crash. You've got, I know this, you've got 1 in 100 chances of being audited. And that's true because I know 3 people in this room, maybe more, that have been audited. That's about right. This I don't want. You got a better chance, if you buy a lottery ticket tonight, going home to your house, and at midnight, the police show up and arrest you for a crime you did not commit. 1 in 3,700 people. So I don't want the police pulling to my door. You have a better chance dying from being a left-handed person who misuses right-handed products. No. You have a better chance of losing an appendage in a chainsaw accident. 1 in 5,000. You have a better chance. 1 in 5 million people this year are going to die the death of hot tap water. What did you say? I said hot tap water. You have a better chance of winning a gold medal in the marathon in the Olympics than winning the lottery. And yet God's stupid people will take that mission's money, the pastor's money, the house lights money, the giving money, and sneak off and buy a lottery ticket for a what? What does the Lord think about it? Now, if you win and you want to give, we're open to it. Really, if you're going to sin, if you're going to sin and win $200 million and you want to, you know, give to the church, we'd take it. Wouldn't we take it, Pastor?
Welcome the sinners laid up for the just.
There's the Bible. There's the Bible. Right there. But please don't tell me you're playing because you want to give 10% to the Lord. Because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, man. I don't buy it for one single second. No. Listen to what the Bible says about the lottery, in case you dabble. Now, someone bought me a lottery ticket. A Christian in this church bought me a lottery ticket. Yeah, for a Christmas gift. Yeah, I used it. I said, oh, rats, I didn't win. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? It says in Proverbs. That's what you're doing. You're setting your eyes upon that which is not. You're not looking up. You got this crazy expectation. For riches certainly make themselves what? Wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Winning the lottery is probably one of the quickest, most surefire ways to ruin your life. That's what they say. Not to mention your odds of winning the lottery are slim to none. The truth is, even if you did win the lottery, and that's a long shot, it's not going to fix your life. It's going to ruin your life. Because those things cannot satisfy. And ask the millionaires who have 100 cars in their garage. Money won't buy you happiness. Now, we know that's true. But that is what the professors say. That is what the psychologists say and the psychiatrists and the doctors. Money cannot buy happiness. It's true. In fact, if you believe in curses, winning the Mega Millions jackpot may make you the opposite of happy. It could even kill you. According to the New York Daily News, well, I don't know, 70% of lottery winners end up broke within 7 years. Even worse, several winners have died horribly or witnessed those close to them suffer. And if you went online and just looked up stories, there's thousands of them, thousands of stories where they won the lottery, marriage ruined. They won the lottery, children spoiled rotten and ruined. They won the lottery, family broke up. They won the lottery, sickness, because they used to work out, they used to exercise, go to work, use their brain. They get all this money, and they become nothing, overweight, unhealthy, sick, and die. It's true. It's also pathetic. It's pathetic to sit in the... I used to sit my boys down at Wegmans in a chair, bench there, waiting for mother, and say, watch those people go into that machine and just hoping to strike it rich. Really, you're hoping to ruin your life. Spending all that money, it's pathetic. Old guys with rags on and rich guys with the best suit in the world, right in the same line. It's fake. It's a phony. It's a fraud. It's a sham. Make haste, Lord. Make haste, Lord. Come. Come, Lord. The Bible says, lay not up your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This world is not what it's cracked up to be. Make haste, Lord. Movies and books and vacations and jobs, all things we do and love. Vehicles, activities, relationships, restaurant, kids, friends, family, home ownership, that is not what it's cracked up to be. Does anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah. All right. Oh, get a home, American dream. It's not the American dream. It is not what it's cracked up to be. You don't own it. It owns you. Don't even doubt it. Who's got more freedom? The guy in a two-bedroom apartment that comes and goes as he pleases? Or the guy in the home that's got to fix everything every other day. Help me, Jesus. Family vacations and, oh, man, we could tell you story after story after story. Remember that camping story, Mama? We were camping on the coast, me and Grams, and we come to this campsite, and it's empty. No one's around. We thought, we got this whole place locked up to ourselves. So we picked the coolest looking spot, set up our tent, and we're sitting there cooking our dinner for the night. And I see a couple of buses coming in with some trucks and trailers. And on the side of that bus, it said, Boy Scouts of America. We ended up in the middle of a jamboree. And I'm not even kidding you. Listen, our tent is in the middle, and we had Happy Boy Scouts all around us, just a few feet. Jesus. That's some bad expectations right there. Listen. 7 feet from our tent, there's a water spigot. And the little brats, they're brushing their teeth there. So 11 o'clock at night, right outside our paper tent, I mean, it's thin as paper, all night long. The next day, Mother and I, we go to the camp office, say, we got to move. We can't take this. Well, good luck. So you know what? I said to Grams, let's just pick the whole tent up and move it. We don't take it down. Why take it down? So we took everything out of the tent, and I picked up this four-man. Picked the stakes up out, kept the poles up, and we're walking down the road like this. As a mobile home. Right? And you feel he's watching us. What on this earth are those people doing? It's a miserable vacation. It rains every single time. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It's such a wonderful illustration to what I'm trying to say tonight that I can't help it. I can't help telling the story. I hope you don't judge me for it. My wife and I were just on a trip recently. And, we're going to try out our new motorcycle, try out my new helmet, and pack it all up in that on to Catskill Mountains. Well, we decided we're going to take the scenic route. Well, anybody been to Catskill Mountains? It's like these roads are, listen, we left at 8:30 in the morning. It's only 330 miles. We got there at 6:30-something at night. Count it up. It's 10 hours on the bike. It was so slow, up and down. I shifted so many times. My hand froze like that. Linda Jean, right? Listen, I'm not exaggerating. I do exaggerate, but I'm the witness right here. My hand froze. I shifted 10,000 times. Anyway, while I'm going straight for 20 feet, I'm holding my hand up, and my wife is massaging my arm, trying to get these nerves to work. Suffering, really suffering. Down my right hand, down my left foot, totally falling apart. Well, listen, it's getting late. 6:30 at night. We found ourselves. There's no connectivity. So I have this GPS thing that really, it didn't treat us well. And we're on this road. It's Cat Claw or Cat Kill or Cat Alley Road. And it's getting late and it's getting dark and it's so thick. Preacher, we're going first gear. I wonder, how can anybody plan to make a road like this? All I can figure is the dude driving the paving machine doze off. And then all of a sudden he wakes up, poof, we're back. That's the only way. How can you? So this road, preacher, is getting narrower and narrower. It's darker and darker. Oh, there's some deer. Beautiful. Last thing I want to see is deer. Wow, this is awesome. What a vacation. Oh, I keep resting, that's for sure. We are totally, it's 90 degrees. Preacher. It is, man. I make haste. This is my point in the story. It said on my GPS, when I can read it, that there's 2 miles to our destination to this lodge. I didn't believe it in Leader to Linda. My wife is thinking that we're going to, because I'm thinking we're going to get a dirt road soon because it's narrowing and dark. And I said, we are in Hicksville. We're going to hit a dirt road. Then what are we going to do? My wife's thinking that we're going to sleep under the stars that night, like Tarzan and Jane. Are you crazy? I'm thinking we're going to break into a hunting cabin. Shacks up there, shacks all over. We were in nowhere's place, no place. I think, well, we can break into one. We got some crackers. We got some water. I have my pistol with me, so I'm saying, okay, all right, good, nice. We break through, and we go to this turn, and we get to what's look like a main road, but none of them are really main roads. That, compared to when we were on Catsclaw or Catskill or Cat Alley, that's a main road. And it says a mile away. I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe this. How can anything be out here? Thank goodness. I'll never go there again. And sure enough, the GPS says 1/10 of a mile, and I see a couple buildings on my left. I'm thinking, praise God. The lodge was a motel. Let's call it a lodge. You know, fireplaces and mantles and deer on the wall. No, it's a motel. Listen now, listen, I'll tell you. The motel was so small. Okay, as again, I'll tell you. Men exaggerate, right, Pastor? We exaggerate. Right? We all do. But my wife's right here. She'll tell you. There was this much room between the wall and our bed. Mama, is that true? Is that true? You go to bed not like that. Listen. I'll tell you something. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you exactly what happened that night. And this is my story tonight. And I'm so thankful. The Lord put us through that just for you. Just so I can come and relate this story. We walked in this door. There was no one there. Thank God I called. I called early in the day. I said, listen, we're not going to get there. I think we're going to get there 2 o'clock. Take it easy. She said, we'll leave the door unlocked. Just go in. No one's around. No cars. No people. Me and Graham's. Oh, no, look, there's room number 3. Motel room number 3. I opened that door. And I went like this. I went, oh. Thank you, God. I made it. And then it struck me how happy I was, how contented I was. Why? I was safe. I was safe, Brother Pritchard. The door closed behind me. We had no food. We had some crackers and some water, but it seemed like so much. I didn't even care about eating. I'm just glad I didn't become part of a deer. I'm glad me and Jane weren't sleeping under some tree where bears live and stuff. And the Lord said to me, Jay, you see how you feel right now? That's going to happen when your road is done. When you're finally off Catskill, Catsclaw, Cat Valley, Death Valley Road, you're going to get to the place, oh, well, it won't be a little bed like that. We were so happy. We were giddy. Giddy. We're laughing. Talking about camping out in the woods in Catskills. And it's a perfect, we got talking about it. It's a perfect picture of you're on this road. All of you are on this road. Curves and dips, narrow, dark, obstacles. You don't know what's around the corner. You're not sure if you're going to make it. That's where we were. But let me tell you something. Because of what this Bible says, I can be sure I'm going to make it. What a blessing. Now, the GPS let us down. It's called a global positioning system. We got talking about God's positioning system that never fails. Goes way beyond the 30 satellites up in space right now operating so I don't get caught on Catsquaw Hill. Well, God's given us a system right here. And it tells us there is a place, and you're not far from it. You are going to make it, and you can sprawl out and say, finally, home, finally safe. I'm safe in this place. Woo, I look forward to it. It was an ideal picture. Oh, we felt so good in such a dump. I mean, otherwise, it was any other circumstance, we were just tired. Just wore out. Are you just tired? Are you just wore out? Yeah. You're going to walk through room number 3. Make haste! That's what we're saying. When we're driving, we're saying, oh, please, please let this be it. Please let this be it. And there was the buildings. Thank you, Jesus. The only problem was we had a short-lived joy because we had to get up the next day and go out again. These roads. Wow. Expectations, anticipations. I spent a fortune on my new helmet. I never had a full-face helmet. It covers your whole head. It's like having a microwave oven on your head. Listen, listen to me. Listen. You want to know what it's like this trip? Grandma, man, we went 930 miles in 4 days, me and old Grams. Wondering, I was so stressed out, I got sick Thursday. I'm just getting better today. Never again. Listen, pick yourself. Just try it. Get on I-90. Go, 70 miles an hour. But make sure you pick a day it's 95 degrees and turn the heat on. Roll the windows up, turn the heat on. That's me with my leather coat, my leather coat, and my helmet. I'll come in. I'll never think the same of a raisin again because I know what they go through now. That's why I lost pounds, man. I was dehydrated. I got dehydrated. So I'm driving along. I'm riding along on the bike, and I'm thinking, I got to get some air. I got to get some air. I flip up my thing, and pull. I get plastered with a dinosaur bug from the Stone Age, a big old bug. I haven't touched the bike since. Been a week. Oh, it was a fantastic trip. We make no. Listen, we would not say that. What we will say is never again. Yeah. Life, it's not what's cracked up to be, preacher. Listen, you ever hear this saying, there's something rotten in Denmark? You ever hear that? Everyone's heard that. Oh, something, but you don't even know what it means. And we know what it means? I'm going to teach you something tonight. And in the 1600s, the brilliant William Shakespeare writes this story called Hamlet. Okay. Act 1, scene 4, this guy Marcellus says, something is rotten in the state of Denmark. Because he just got done seeing the ghost of the late king of Denmark. Pretty rough. Something rotten in Denmark. Can I tell you something tonight? There's something rotten in Denmark. Make haste, Lord. Make haste, Lord. There's something not right in Denmark. It means when someone says there's something not right, something's rotten in Denmark, it means there's something going on here that's not quite right. Do you think something's going on with the whole COVID thing that's not quite right? Do you think something's going on with our White House? It's not quite right. Afghanistan is not quite right. The stock market, the banks, our whole society, there's something rotten. Now, trust me when I tell you, when I go home tonight, my wife and I, we're going to make supper. I'm going to enjoy every second of it. I don't want you to think I'm bitter about the world. I'm just saying there's something rotten in Denmark. What? Whew. Life is full of disappointments. And the closer you are to this world, the more disappointed you're going to be. You'll find out. You'll find out. Someone said, I'm going to get married and be happy. Okay. Let me just say this. I'm just going to say this. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. It's not in the Bible. That's not why you get married, is to be happy. We're happy most of the time. But no, no. You know what you're going to have? Don't get your expectations too high. Don't get your anticipation too high because you're going to be disappointed. I tell people come to this church, this church is the greatest church on the earth. Oh, the people, the singing, the preaching is wonderful. I say, look at man. Everyone that comes, especially those who are moving here, you can ask them. I say, look at man, the longer you come, you're going to be disappointed because we're men, we're women. You got to set your affection on things above. You got to set your affection on God. One time, I'll stop in a minute here. I'm just rambling on. I'll be judged tonight because I'm rambling on, but that's okay. Listen, on our 25th wedding anniversary, my children, they're going to buy us a new set of furniture. Never had new furniture, 25 years. We bought this cheap couch when we got married, and Linda recovered it 17 times. Right, Linda Jean? And we kept it. Well, my kids bought us a furniture for our 25th wedding anniversary, a couch, a love seat, cloth. Linda got a rocker, and I got my first leather chair. What man doesn't want a leather chair? I think every man, before he dies, is it wrong? Well, I'm sitting in this leather chair. We're all just sitting around, man. I'm just like in heaven. My kids bought us all this, a lot of money. I'm sitting out, and I feel this tag behind the chair. I said, what's this say? The only part of this chair that's leather is the part your body touches. What on this earth kind of a leather chair is this? It's a fake, it's a fraud, it's a phony, it's a sham. Oh, man. You know what the world says? No worries. Yeah. Really? Really? No worries. If you're not saved, you better worry. If your anticipation, if your expectation, if you're looking forward to is on this earth, bro, you are in for a long life. Let me tell you, when I got saved, my beloved saved me. Everything changed in my life. And on my worst day, I can still say, I'm saved. Through cancer, through surgery, through children heartache. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Look not on the things of the world. Set not your affections on the things of this world. Set your expectations, your anticipation on God, and you'll never be disappointed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Listen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. That's what we look for. We look for a place that's not going to break. We look for a place that's not going to wear out. We look for a place that's never going to grow old. We look for a place that's going to have perfect neighbors. How would you like to have perfect neighbors? In heaven, you'll have perfect neighbors. A place where there's no pollution, no crime, and no insurance, and no tears, and no sadness, no waiting around. No more lying, nor stealing, nor sin. No more bad decisions. There is a Supreme Court with a one supreme judge, and no one's going to question him. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things, what? Which are above, vertical. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, what's the Bible say? Don't set your heart on them. Okay, if you win the lottery, great. If you get a new car, great, but don't set your heart on it. We could all stand up here and tell stories about the great expectations we've had and got just nothing but disappointment. Listen, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, and I am, and you should be too. But in the day of adversity, consider God also has set the one over against the other. We got good days and bad days. I'm still saved. Make haste, Lord. Make haste. I can finally see my beloved. Make haste, Lord. This conflict with the flesh, the world, and the devil will finally be over. Make haste, Lord, as the world looks at me trying to do right, trying to be good. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Shechem saying, what's he doing? What? They judge me because I want to live right. They judge me. Oh, you don't drink? Oh, you have a problem? You don't drink? Oh, you don't smoke? You don't swear? Oh, your wife wears a dress all the time? Oh, really? What? What's it to you? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. No more suffering. No more sorrowing. No more pain. Oh, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Don't you want to change? I don't want to change for change's sake. I want to change, be with my Savior forever. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump shall sound, the dead shall rise, be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into what? The same image. From glory to glory. Thank you, Lord. It's a promise from God. I'll read a couple of verses and we'll stand up and sing a song. Maybe I'll just sing a song. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus said. Make haste, Lord. Make haste. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly, it says in another verse, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Henceforth, there was laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the last day, and not to me only. Who's going to get it? All them also that love is appearing. When is the last time you said, make haste, Lord? Make haste, Lord. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, looking for the blessed hope. I love things on this earth just like you do. But I ask God not to let me love it too much. Not so much that I can't say, make haste. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look. Oh, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That's a Christian. It's vile. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Okay. There's a song here. It's called There's No Disappointment in Heaven. Amy, would you mind singing that with me? Come on. Jason, why don't you and Amy sing it? Would that be all right, buddy? I got one copy here. There's No Disappointment in Heaven. Me. Okay. So, okay, here we go. Oh, this is a great song. It's a great song. Ready? Go ahead, man.
There's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky. For all will be sunshine and gladness, with never a sob nor a sigh. Join us. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Hey, sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. We'll never pay rent for our mansion. The taxes will never come due. Our garments will never grow threadbare, but always be faithless and new. We'll never be hungry nor thirsty, no languishing poverty there. For all the rich bounties of heaven, his sanctified children will share. Come on now. And I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. And sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. There'll never be creep on the doorknob, no funeral train in the sky, no graves on the hillsides of glory, nor there we shall never more die. The old will be on there forever, transformed in a moment of time. The mortal will stand. Let's stand together and sing that chorus. The stars and the sun to outshine. And I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed are. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Hurry up, Lord. Please, please. Time to go homesick for heaven,
and the glory that there shall be home. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold.
You know what? When I was in that hotel room, Sister Galinsky, I thought about Joe, just tired, sprawled out, saying, oh, I'm safe. I'm out of this pain. Brother Bill, row boys, I thought about Sister Sharon that night, thinking, what could she think after all the battles, all the sorrow, the sickness, the suffering, sprawled out. I'm here. I made it. Father, we're grateful for Jesus. We love you, Lord. I ask you to bless this night. Bless the Crown Choir practice right now, Lord, please. Prepare us for Sunday. Lord, we go home tonight with two words on our hearts. Make haste. Make haste. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. You're dismissed.